Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on the Buckmaster Show on our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me in studio, Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. And Don, thanks for, first of all, great to see you.
It's good to see you, Bill.
Thanks for sending along a real nice review of your book on estate planning that one of your clients sent along. And I think the whole COVID, the pandemic, has sent a lot of people to offices, legal offices, to say, maybe it's that time.
Well, you know, unfortunately, it gets people thinking about mortality and serious illness and whether they've actually done enough planning to provide for that. So we've seen a lot of people come in that we haven't seen for years who want to update their estate planning.
Is it a scary process for people?
Of course. They have to consider what would happen if they were unable to make decisions for themselves, who would make those decisions for them, what the decisions would look like. Yeah, it's very scary.
But very necessary.
Necessary, yes.
I want to talk about what happens, and hopefully we will have a COVID-19 vaccination program in place perhaps by the end of the year. What about employers and even states mandating vaccinations? Let's begin with the employer end of things. Could an employer say, if you're going to work here, I want to see proof that you have had vaccination for COVID?
You know, of the two, the government mandating it versus the employer mandating it, this is the more difficult of the two questions.
That's why I started with it, because I think the state is, that one's pretty cut and dry. I don't think they could, just guessing here, I don't think a state could mandate that.
I would take the opposite side of that. But anyway.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let's talk about employers.
Okay.
So we'll start with the assumption that we have a vaccine that is effective. Okay.
Right.
We'll start with that assumption, because if you have an ineffective vaccine or one that isn't very good, then you would undermine the reason why the employer would require its employees to be vaccinated, and that is to provide a safe workplace. So if you start with the assumption that we have an effective vaccine, and then you look at the duty that every Arizona employer has, which is to provide a safe workplace environment for its employees, the question becomes, can an employer meet its duty to provide a safe workplace environment without mandating that its employees get vaccinated, assuming that a safe and effective vaccination exists? And I guess the argument would be that as an employer, because it is your duty to provide a safe workplace, mm-hmm. then you correspondingly have a duty to ensure that your employees are vaccinated if a safe and effective vaccine exists. We don't have that situation yet.
But we very well could have this situation very soon.
We very well could. Now, moving to whether the government can require citizens to be vaccinated, I think that's an easier question.
Really?
And the reason, well, I have a secret weapon.
All right.
The reason I think that's an easier question is because more than 100 years ago, in 1905, the United States Supreme Court, in a case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts, held that a state criminal law that required all adult inhabitants of Cambridge to get a smallpox vaccine or be fined was not unconstitutional.
Wow.
The court explained in that decision, which is still followed, by the way, that an individual's liberty rights under the U.S. Constitution are not absolute, and that the mandatory vaccination law was necessary to promote public health and safety. Now, if you think about that, that's not a whole lot different than what the states have done with regard to compulsory vaccination for school-aged children,
mm-hmm.
right? All 50 states require vaccination for kids attending school. And as recently as 2019, last year, in the midst of a measles outbreak, New York City mandated that anyone over 6 months of age who lived, went to school in, or worked in several zip codes within the city had to be vaccinated against measles or be subject to a fine. So again, this concept about states, cities, counties, governmental entities mandating vaccines is not new. Although I think most people, when they hear that, would question whether the government has the right to do that.
Yes.
But going back as far as 1905 in Jacobson versus Massachusetts, which is still good law, the United States Supreme Court held that the state does have the right under certain circumstances to mandate that citizens be vaccinated. That was a smallpox case, but last year in New York, it was a measles case. And now we're dealing with COVID. So in my mind, all three of those present a public health issue. And I would submit that if the state of Arizona, for instance, mm-hmm. at some point, assuming an effective and safe vaccination is developed, mandates that Arizona residents over a certain age mm-hmm. be vaccinated or be subject to some penalty.
Yes.
Could be a monetary fine or a denial of the right to renew your driver's license yep. or, you know, some other penalty, yep. I would submit that they would have a good chance of having that upheld as being constitutional. And the argument for it, of course, would be that in order to promote the health and safety of the general population, it's necessary to essentially create a herd immunity. And this argument goes back to, in large part, all right, so what's the purpose of the vaccination? Well, the purpose of the vaccination is primarily to create herd immunity so that we aren't transmitting the virus one to the other because we have so many people who are susceptible to contracting it. In order to do that, the studies show that you need about 70% of the population to either have antibodies, which means that they've had it,
right.
or to be vaccinated, which creates the antibodies and they won't contract it. So, you know, you may, hopefully you don't have to mandate that people get vaccinated, but right now, according to a study that I saw, only about 2/3 of Americans say that they likely would get vaccinated. So maybe you do need to mandate it. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, there are other implications. I mean, this to me seems to be where this next battleground is going. I mean, right now it's the battleground over shall we wear a mask or not. I can see this happening now with airlines requiring not only a mask, but a proof of vaccination when you go to check in, either at the airport counter or through TSA.
And you know, that raises several interesting questions. The first thought that crossed my mind was airline travel is not a right; it's a privilege.
Right.
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 So, if you don't wish to submit to the requirement, then you don't get to exercise that privilege. But on the other hand, you could argue that if you deny someone the right to travel by air, you're essentially taking their property because in some cases it's necessary for people's livelihood. But then you also have the other consideration, which is what about the people who have a legitimate religious objection to vaccinations or philosophical objection to vaccinations? Are you imposing your will on theirs and in some way discriminating against them on the basis of religion? Now, that's a question that is going to potentially be played out if the airlines do impose those type of requirements on their passengers.
All right, let's see if we can work one more in here. The state has filed a lawsuit seeking to force Tucson to alter our election dates. Right now, Tucson has kind of these, I would call them off-year elections that we have, but now they may have to be forced to join with kind of the regular every 2-year election. Maybe you can summarize this better than I can.
Let's call them odd year elections.
Thank you. Odd year.
Well, it's interesting. Tucson, perhaps uniquely, but certainly in a minority, holds elections on odd years.
Yes.
We had one in 2019, and the city council recently scheduled the 2021 primary for August 3rd and the general election for November 2021. Well, 2021 is an odd year. Mm-hmm. There is a state law that requires all elections to be held in even years.
Even years.
Even years.
Thank you.
So Mark Brnovich, our attorney general, just a week or so ago filed a lawsuit against the city of Tucson. And in that lawsuit, he contends on behalf of the state of Arizona that the city is violating the state statute, which requires elections be held in even-numbered years. The city of Tucson, in response, is saying, well, maybe, yes, that's what the statute says, but we are one of 19 charter cities in the state of Arizona. And as a charter city, we have the right to govern our own local elections and our own local problems and our own local issues. So it's going to be a contest. The state of Arizona says it's a matter of statewide concern. State law governs. The city of Tucson says it's a matter of local concern, and the state has no business to telling us when we can hold our elections.
Going to the Supreme Court, perhaps?
It is before the Supreme Court now. That's where it's going to be decided.
All right. Don Luce, always a pleasure. Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Check out two of Don's books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second